The Stealth Revolution of Religion and Government in the Last Days, Number 1. How is Satan deceived, specifically, the Israelites, modern-day Israelites? And how is it that using his servants, and there are many servants, remember, the truth is, you either serve God or you serve Satan. And also understand that there are a lot of people who worship Satan. And you can generally tell who they are. They don't run around with a sign, "I worship Satan." But they are generally the ones who we know as the super elite of the world. And there are super elite in America. And I don't think we've understood how we really do not have a republic constitutional government anymore. And I don't think we have understood the seriousness of God wanting his people to obey him. And I think that in spite of all the correction that has come down through time, and as we look at America, so I'm going to focus on America and just realize that the United Kingdom is about 10 years ahead of us and Australia is about 2 years behind us. We have not comprehended two important things. One, though we understand the purpose of God's creation for us to enter into his family, we need to grasp that in a more perfect and meaningful way, because this will help us understand why all the events at the end are going to be so horrendous. Because man has in toto rejected everything of God and are accepting everything of Satan the devil. And there are two climactic periods in the history of man where God must intervene in great wrath. The first one was in the days leading up to the flood, and the flood was the first one where it was so evil and wretched that every thought of man was evil from his youth up continually. And men under the auspices of worshiping Satan the devil so polluted the whole earth and so polluted animals and mankind. And I think we can learn from the lesson that it was said of Noah that he was perfect in his generations or genealogy. And this tells us why God had to destroy all life with the exception of Noah's family and the exception of the animals that God sent to Noah to put into the ark, that they likewise had to be perfect in their generations. Now, understanding that tells us what mankind was doing then in manipulating the creation of God just like we're doing today. So that's why God had to come and destroy all life. Men were totally worshiping Satan the devil, going his way. They had many tyrants, meaning that they had also the wrong government. So all we have to do is look at today and see it's exactly as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. But what happens is this. This generation does not feel it deserves all the wrath of God that is coming, because they don't realize what they have done. And especially the Israelites, the end time 10 tribes of Israel, being the Anglo-Saxon people and those of Northwestern Europe, they do not comprehend the sins that they have committed, the severity of them. They realize they're miserable, they realize their sin, etc. But they do not realize that they are going to have come upon them the correction and wrath of God because it has accumulated for many generations, from the beginning of the rise of England and then America. Though we've had a lot of correction through wars, correction through droughts, correction through different things, they never really returned to God. They always did, like it says there in Psalm 78. They flattered God when he did them very severe correction, and it says, and when he slew them, they returned to him. And they even did it. They even did it in the wilderness with the very presence of God there day and night. So I think we need to keep that in mind as we go through what we're going to cover today. Because everyone is saying, oh, we've got to stop this government before we have no republic left. It's too late. There is no republic left. And most people don't understand it because of the duplicity and lying of the religious leaders and the politicians. So let's see how Satan has deceived the world. Says there, Revelation 12:9, Satan deceives the whole world. And remember, when we're talking about the book of Revelation, we're talking about the things at the end time when it says all the earth, the whole world, all nations. It means precisely that. Now let's come to Isaiah 25. And let's see how Satan is able to accomplish this. And we will label this, as I gave the sermon, Obsessed with Sex. We will label this as the first thing, of course, Obsessed with Sex is part of it, by the way. But the first thing is that people become obsessed with lies. And today, we have all the facilities so that everyone is absorbed in lies and do not realize it because they have an artificial reality, which is created by the entertainment, by television, by music, by false education, by a media that never tells you the truth, by politicians who never tell you the truth. And so what happens, there is a covering of blindness and sin that covers the whole world, and in particularly the United States and Britain today. Now, Isaiah 25 and verse 7. So when Christ returns, this is what he's going to have to do. Remember, other places it says, I'm going to give you a new heart, a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. Okay. Verse 7, he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering which covers all people. It's the whole world. Like it says there in Revelation 12:9, he is deceiving on a continuous, ongoing basis. See, you always need reinforcement of deception, reinforcement of fantasy, reinforcement of your reality that is not reality. And here is how he does it. And the veil that is woven over all nations. So it's just like a pall. Now, because we know the truth of God, we can comprehend this more and more. And haven't you, since you first came into church, let's go back how many ever years, because a lot of us have been in the church for decades. Haven't you seen a progression of evil and an imaginary reality that people live in based on lies? Yes, indeed. And today's youth are being subjected to it in a very intense way at a very early age, because everything right in front of their eyes has been changed. The government, the education, the religion, and the way that people communicate, the families, mothers, fathers, friends. And now today, we have a completely narcissistic generation that ranges in difference in ages from very young to even some very old, which is this. They are plugged in to the music which is designed to instill rebellion in them. It's like when I go down to Arcadia, I'm going to do another sermon on Proverbs for the youth and inmates. Because once they give themselves over to this music and the messages that it is, plugged in with their iPhones, going straight into their ears, Satan has got them. Because it says that he takes them captive, whomever he will. See, unless you have the Spirit of God and the Word of God in your mind, which will protect you, then God's angels with you. So what I want you to do as we go through this, I don't want you to get discouraged at the things that are going to take place, but be encouraged that this shows we're getting closer to the end. And also, because we know and understand this, that God is watching over us, that God is protecting us, that God is giving us this understanding so we won't get caught up in it. Okay? Now, you tie in with the cell phones, you have text messages and tweetering. What is Twitter? Twitter is a text messaging. Okay. But you see children around their parents. They totally ignore them. They're locked into the system and they tweeter, go back and forth, and they're text messaging. And their thumbs are like runaway millipedes. Comment was made that there was about a 14-year-old girl in New York who was walking down the street doing twittering as she was going. There was an open manhole cover and she fell in it. She survived and laughed about it, but that tells you the story, you know. You're certainly not watching where you're going. So they are totally connected in, mainline, straight to Satan the devil. So if there are any teenagers, and you have an iPhone or an iPod, and you plug in and listen to all the rock music, you do all the text messaging to your friends and ignore your parents, which also brings another curse upon you because you're dishonoring your parents and the family, I want to ask you a question. What happened to you that you're so rebellious now, when there was a time that you weren't? And I think you can directly connect it to when you got your iPod and you have all this hard rock music going into your mind. And what it does, it rewires and reprograms your mind to be rebellious and receptive, wide open to Satan's way, which then leads to drugs, which leads to illicit sex, which leads to destroyed lives, etc. This is the covering that is covering the whole world today. Now let's turn over a couple pages to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Now a lot of people won't believe this. They say, hey man, look, you're a gray-haired old man. Hey, you don't even have a cell phone. Have you ever text message? No. Now, here's the difference between those who believe in God, trust in His Word, go His way, and you and the world. See? Because you're either in a covenant of life with Christ or you're in a covenant of death with Satan the devil. Now, there is some middle ground. But you have to choose where you're going, just like all Israelites, as Elijah said. Now, you're hopping, or that is, jumping back and forth between your opinions as to who is God. Is it the Lord, or is it Baal? Baal represents Satan the devil, and the Lord is God. And they keep jumping back and forth. And just like all atheists and God haters, when it comes down to where their life is individually threatened, all of a sudden they believe in God. God, how could you do this to me? You did it to yourself. All right, now notice verse 15. No, verse 14. Isaiah 28. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people in Jerusalem. Now, wherever we read Jerusalem today, just put in there London, Washington, D.C., Ottawa, Canada, Sydney, Australia, and wherever it is in New Zealand, probably Auckland. Okay? Wherever you are, just put that in, because we're talking about a principle that applies. Verse 15, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death. There's no purpose in life. God doesn't exist. All religions are foolish and nonsense. They're pretty well correct in that part. We've evolved. We human beings must solve all our own problems because there's no God out there in the heavens that's going to rescue us. We have made a covenant with death, and we have made an agreement with the grave. Yet you boast. You boast against God. When the overwhelming rod, which is the correction from God, shall pass through, you say, it shall not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge. How has that happened? Why do we have the religion and governments that we do? Because of lies. And we have hidden ourselves under falsehood, and we will see how this applies in particularly to Washington, D.C. Okay. Now, let's come to Ezekiel, the 21st chapter. Ezekiel 21. Ezekiel 21. Let's begin right here in verse 1. Now, you see, everyone who believes the lie that the prophets wrote this themselves of their own imagination, listen up to verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, so just like Moses, none of the prophets spoke their own words, but God's words. Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem, and preach against the holy places, and prophesy against the land of Israel, and say to the land of Israel, thus says the Lord. Now, when God says, thus says the Lord, that's almost like you are guaranteed trouble. Now, he also says concerning blessings, thus says the Lord, if. See? Verse 3, say to the land of Israel, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you, and will draw my sword out of its sheath, and will cut off from you the righteous and the wicked. Now that's obviously the righteous who think they're righteous. But those who were willing to believe God enough to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar when God said, surrender and you will live, were counted as righteous. Since I will cut off both the righteous and the wicked from you, therefore the sword shall be drawn from its sheath. Against all flesh from the south to the north. And in America, what is the soft underbelly of America? The Gulf Coast. From the south. Verse 5. Thus all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, have drawn out my sword from its sheath, and it shall not be sheathed again. He's not going to put it back. And therefore you, son of man, sigh with the breaking of your heart and groan with the bitterness before your eyes. And it will be when they say to you, why do you sigh? You shall answer, because of the news that is coming. And every heart shall faint, and all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint, and all knees shall be weak as water. Because, behold, it comes, and it shall be done. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, say, a sword is sharpened and also polished. It is sharpened in order to make a slaughter. It is polished so that it may glitter. Or shall we make mirth against the rod of my son, despising every tree? Are you going to, in all of this, look for a good time? Verse 11, and he has given it to be polished, to be taken by the hand. The sword, it is sharpened, and it is polished. To give it into the hand of the slayer. So the time is coming, see. Time is coming when everybody's opportunity has come to an end. We're not there yet. Those who will hear this and repent and give up their lives and their way of life and return to God, God will honor that. So he says, verse 12, cry and howl, son of man, for it shall be upon my people, and it shall be upon all the princes of Israel. So every politician, great or small, federal, state, county, local, listen up. Terrors by reason of the sword shall be upon my people, therefore slap your thigh. Isn't it interesting that they are now having coordinated exercises in the United States in regions? There's going to be a big coordinated exercise in the area where they mostly have the hurricanes, Louisiana and Texas and Mississippi and Alabama and Florida and Georgia and I think even Tennessee. They're going to have a special exercise for practice where they have all communicating together from the lowest local level to the highest level in the federal government, including the FBI, the police, the sheriffs, including the National Guard, including FEMA, including whatever else that they need. Now, you take and multiply that by region, and also in connection with international, too. Even though they're going to be ready, it won't work. Verse 13, because it is a trial. What if the sword even despises the rod? It shall be no more. Now, the rod is the sign of governance. So he says, all the princes of Israel, that is all who are governing, and what if they despise the sword? Won't do any good to despise it. Now let's come to Ezekiel 22. And here we begin to see the causes of why this is coming. Now let's also understand that even as God told Moses, after the children had committed to sin, of worshiping the golden calf, and Aaron made it, and said, "Oh, don't be mad, my lord. They brought the gold, and this calf just leaped out." And that's how people look at sin too many times, you know. Okay? They don't understand that God is gracious and merciful and long-suffering and kind and good if you love him and keep his commandments. If you don't, he is hostile, he is mean, he is judgmental in the eyes of men. So because the world and especially our nations are clinging to this lying, false reality that really does not exist. And I'm going to show you in the government of America and down even to the local level, it does not exist. What appears to be the form of government is a lying front. And the nation has already been conquered and taken over by evil forces who have been working a long time. And as we will see, so deceived is that the people think, "Oh, well, we better act before the government has changed. It's already done." And what you are looking at, which you think is reality, is only the last bit of chapters that need to be rolled into the system. All right, this is the chapter in reading it that inspired this sermon. Verse 1. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Now you, son of man, will you judge the bloody city? And yes, you shall make her to know all her abominations.'" Now let's look at Washington, D.C., the capital of the home of the brave and the free, oppressed by murder, drugs, sex, of the highest level of any city in America. All the evils that go on there. So just think of Washington, D.C., London, all of the capital cities of Israel today. "And yes, you shall make her to know all her abominations. Then you shall say, 'Thus says the Lord God, the city sheds blood in her midst, that her time may come.'" See, the more there is killing, robbery, adultery, fornication, thievery, lying and cheating by politicians, add it all up, okay? "And make idols unto herself to defile herself. You are guilty by the blood that you have shed. And you have defiled yourself with your idols that you have made. And you have caused your days to draw near and have come unto your years. Therefore, I have made you a reproach to the nations and a mocking of all countries." And that's where we are right now, isn't that so? I'll read a little bit of a report for where Timothy Geithner is going around the world on his hands and knees begging the nations, "Oh, please, buy our debt." They laugh. The only thing they're worried about is how they can get out of the dollar without killing themselves. When that happens, everything's going to fall apart. And it will happen. "Mock against you, O infamous one, and full of tumult." Verse 6, "Behold, the princes of Israel, all the rulers, small and great, from the president on down to city councilmen, everyone has used his power to shed blood in you. In you they have despised both father and mother. In your midst they have dealt with the stranger by oppression. In you they have oppressed the orphan and the widow. You have despised my holy things. Yes, you put on your money, and God we trust, and your money is alive because it's a dead instrument. And have profaned my Sabbaths. So for those of you who are not familiar with the weekly Sabbath of God and the holy annual holy days of God, you better listen up, because you're part of the profaning of the Sabbath of God. And the Sabbath is Saturday, from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. And if you're out partying around, drugging around, fornicating around, homosexuality and around, if you're going to football games, basketball games, whatever sport in the daytime on the Saturday, you personally are responsible for profaning the holy Sabbath of God, which he gave to us so that we might be in contact with God and receive his blessings. In you are men who of slander who shed blood. In you are they that eat on the mountains. In the midst they commit lewdness. It's all a false religion. So we've got government and religion. And remember what I've been saying for quite a long time. The two main problems in the world today are what? Government and religion. In you they have uncovered your father's nakedness. In you they have humbled her who is unclean in her impurity. A man who committed abominations with his neighbor's wife, and a man who lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another has humbled his sister, his father's daughter. In you they have taken bribes to shed blood. You have taken usury and excessive increase. Listen up, bankers. There's where you are. How about 21% on credit cards? And then you wonder why people can't pay them. And you granted by and you gained by extortion of your neighbors. And you have forsaken me, says the Lord God. Now, if you get a chance to watch on CNBC, The House of Cards, watch it. Now, we can also say of that, if financially it comes from the Fed right on down to the greedy person who wanted to refinance his home. So you watch The House of Cards on CNBC. They're going to play that over and over again. And when you see Alan Greenspan's response, you are going to see one of the agents that caused this, and these words God is going to bring upon him and everyone involved, clear down to the little loan officer that went from being a busboy in a restaurant to making $20,000 a week in these subprime loans, to all of the greedy people who wanted those subprime loans to get the money so they could spend and live high in the hog. And it's not over yet. All right, there you go. Dishonest gain. Verse 14. Can your heart stand, or can your hands be strong in the day that I shall deal with you? No, God is dealing with them already. Are they standing? No. They're falling like a house of cards. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I will do it. Now, please understand, when God says that so dogmatically, it's going to happen. So everyone has to choose, whose side are you on? And if you're not on God's side, you better repent and get there. Whose side are you on? Verse 15. And I will scatter you among the nations, and will disperse you in the countries, and will consume your uncleanness out of you. Question, did God do this to Israel, the ten tribes, northern ten tribes? You can read it in any commentary, right? Did he do it to the house of Judah and Jerusalem and send them off into Babylon for 70 years? Yes, he did. What did they do when they came back out of Babylon? Went right back to the same sins again. All you have to do is read Ezra and Nehemiah and the prophet Malachi. Okay? You shall know that I am the Lord, see. And you will be profaned by your own selves in the sight of the heathen. They look at us, even those who never had the Bible or the Word of God have better conduct than those whom God has given the Word to and the blessings to the descendants of Abraham. They look and see how terrible it is. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Now that's a tough way to know the Lord. The easier way is with repentance and turning your life to God and know Him because you love Him and keep His commandments and you walk in faith and believe in hope and live in love. Now there's not very much more time left in the way of how many years available for you to fiddle around and have one foot in one place and one foot in another place, halting and jumping back and forth between two opinions. What are you going to do when you're faced with the judgment of God? Verse 17, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. All of them are bronze and tin and iron and lead. In the middle of the furnace, there are even the dross of silver. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have all become dross, behold, I will gather you into the middle of Jerusalem. Exactly what he did in 586 B.C. and again in 70 A.D. You would think two times would be enough for them to learn. Verse 20. And as they gathered silver and bronze and iron and lead and tin in the middle of the furnace to blow the fire on it to melt it, so I will gather you in my anger and in my fury, and I will cast you in and melt you. And I will gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in the midst. And I could not help but think of the Holocaust when I read that. See, every time things like this happen, they say, oh, the enemy did it. Yes, but why did the enemy do it? See? So you need to ask yourself, why? There's a reason. Nothing happens on scale like that that God does not know about it, and He's not involved in some kind of judgment. What does God say concerning even a little sparrow? That if it falls, He knows it. What does He say about every one of us? Knows every hair on our head, right? God knows. See, the reality and truth is this. God is dealing with everyone one way or the other. Those who do good, even though they're not called, they have some blessings. Those who do evil and their lives end up in a great catastrophe, that's your judgment. Those who love God and serve Him and keep His commandments are the scattered remnant that God loves and is dealing with, and we are going to rule the world. Because the world needs to be ruled by Christ and the saints. Because there is not one fit man in the world to rule anyone or in religion to proclaim God, because you're all liars and thieves and cheats. And we will see that. Someone's going to say, oh, who are you to say that? Well, God says, if you don't say it, I'm going to hold you accountable. And I'll tell you this. I don't want your blood on my head. Let's go. Let's see. Verse 22. As silver is melted in the furnace, so shall you be melted in the midst of it, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. That's pretty strong stuff. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, Are you the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation? Now we come to the root causes, right here. Those who are responsible, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in her midst. Conspiracy means against God by men who claim that the laws and commandments of God have been done away. While you have not taken a knife to cut the pages out of the Bible, like the foolish king of Israel did when the message from Jeremiah was sent to him in the winter as he was sitting before the fireplace, and he read it and cut it out and threw it in the fire. And God said to Jeremiah, because he has done this, you tell him he's going to die. And you write those words again, plus more than I'm going to tell you. You can read that in the book of Jeremiah. So all of you good Sunday-keeping ministers out there, you're not good, you're evil, you are liars, and you lie every Sunday that you are there. And all of you who go to church on Sunday, you are not serving God, you are not serving Christ, you are serving another Christ, you are serving another God, and you are deluded and you are deceived, and God is calling you out of that so that you will not have to suffer through the most severe of God's correction that is coming. And that's just a fact. Now, you're so harsh and hard. Listen, what I'm saying is mild than being in the hands of God. But remember the warning at the end of the book of Revelation. If any man add to these words, I will add to him the plagues written in this book. Now that means the whole Bible, and we're reading some of them here. And if any man take away from these things that are written in this book, I will take his name out of the book of life. So what are we really dealing with? And the ministers and priests who claim to be Christian and follow this sun god's day of Sunday are responsible for the condition of the people in this nation and the politics in this nation as well. Need to understand that. A conspiracy of her prophets in her midst to deny the Sabbath of God, to deny the holy days of God, to deny Christ, the one whom you say you worship. Like a roaring lion tearing the prey, they have devoured souls, they have taken the treasure and precious things, and they've made many widows in her midst. Let's go to the next track, please.